This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike, West Durham's going to join us. Who? West
Durham! That's 10 yards, man. That's a flag right there.
West Durham!
Guess what time it is?
Now, it's time for the big story.
Listen to this.
On Dukes and Bell.
Well, sometimes I jump off sides, you know? Got to be mentally focused,
locked in. That's a false start. That's not offside. Actually, it's 5 yards. 5 yards.
Hey, real quick, before we get to our guy, West Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, just want to fill you in on what's going on here. We are high above Colony Square, Peachtree Street, 14th, Midtown. There's a lot of construction going on in and around this building. And Mike says to me about an hour ago, do you feel that? And I'm like, I don't feel anything. I think, you know, Mike's head sometimes is playing with him. Well, I got to be honest. About 20 minutes ago, I go, do you feel that? We are shaking in here, and you just told me that they're chipping away downstairs at the foundation.
Maybe you hadn't noticed. The building was built years ago, and it doesn't really match the modern aesthetic, so they're taking away some of the swoop of the concrete at the bottom. And I've watched a lot of engineering disasters on the Smithsonian Channel, and so I get very nervous when I feel vibrations and the floor is shaking. So if this is our last broadcast, let's go out with a bang with Wes Durham.
Wes, what is going on today? How are you feeling?
Well, Carl, there are a couple things I need to address with you. One, evidently you don't read the email because it was kind of addressed in the email.
What email?
What, that the building was going to feel unstable?
What email?
Well, that they were going to close off like one of the parking levels, and that's obviously where they're doing some of this.
Yeah, but we are we're like 10 floors up. We should not be feeling this.
I know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that picture you put out this morning with some of your costuming on, Carl.
Yeah, what's up?
That looked like you got to live in hell beat.
Effective makeup.
It's a zombie, man. It's a Walking Dead character is what that was. Yeah, I know. People were making fun. And they were like, what happened?
I looked at that, and I'm like, who the hell beat up Carl?
No.
Mike got you in a fight.
That is not what happened, but I appreciate the compliment because that means the costume worked, man. So,
yeah, it did. Yeah, it looked real good.
Thanks, brother. Well, tell us as we get into a conversation, guys, about the Falcons, and Wes obviously is going to be calling the game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on Sunday.
So we're kind of going to call the game because where they put us in Washington, as Bo will tell you, about three-quarters of the game's a damn rumor.
What do you mean? Explain.
Because we're low and in the corner at FedEx Field behind the end zone.
So they don't have you up high where you can see everything?
Not necessarily, Coach.
Oh, wow.
In fact, I would tell you that this used to be 32. Like 32 is in the worst spot in the league. And then Miami built the boy in the plastic bubble in the corner of Hard Rock Stadium last year. The John Michaels radio booth, as I refer to it. And that's the new 32. Bo will tell you. Bo can validate that.
He's right, Carl.
That Washington is as bad as any place we do a game.
Daniel Snyder's got to squeeze every penny out of that stadium, and that's why
parking's only 150.
Show up this year, Mike.
Yeah. Well, I know there's a couple thousand Falcon fans that should be making the trip because we earmarked this one as one of the more easier ones to get. Wes, we're coming off the bye, and as we said, you know, it's tough because you know what you got to do. You got to really win a bunch of games, like a 7-2 kind of run. Do you trust this defense to get better? I mean, that's all you can do is hope these guys, the backups, just play better.
Well, you certainly got to hope that the leverage that they created the other night at points in the Giant game certainly helps. The thing that concerns you, I think, for Atlanta on Sunday is can they, against the number two run defense in the league, can you get anything going there? Because as we all know, it's been a struggle. And you don't want this to be a one-way because the last time it got one-way was when Pittsburgh got to Ryan all day long. So as much as you focus on what you're going to do defensively to try and slow down Adrian Peterson, and let's be honest, he's had moments against Atlanta from game one on. And the last time we saw him, you know, as a Viking, he had a big day. So not just in 2007 in his first game as a pro, but the last time we saw AP, he was really good. So you certainly got to address that. Alex Smith's not had a great year statistically, but he's a veteran guy who And I'm not sure he's got great guys to throw it to. You look at their numbers. I mean, Jordan Reed only has 29 catches, and he's their leading receiver. And Chris Thompson's their second leading receiver, the running back. You don't get to a wide receiver until you get to Paul Richardson, the guy who used to be in Seattle who's got less than 20 catches. So it really is about Adrian Peterson. And if that's the way it's going to be, at least you know kind of what you got to deal with on Sunday. And I'm sure a lot of the off-week stuff and even the bonus Monday when Arch and I were out there the other day, you got the impression these guys were full throttle and ready to get back at it. And I think the two wins going to the bye really helped that.
All right, as far as our defense, and we've been talking about this today, you know, it kind of is what it is at this point with the personnel. We did not make any moves on the defensive side as far as the trade deadline.
Right.
But the numbers don't lie. I mean, does this defense improve from being 30th in total defense and 30th against the pass, 30th in scoring, 21st in takeaways with only 7? To me, that's the thing that will elevate this team to not only get to 500, Wes, but also potentially make a run towards the playoffs.
Well, I agree with that. I think the other thing, too, is you got to get better at taking the ball away. You know, I mean, you haven't had many turnovers, thank goodness, offensively, or else you'd be in a real uphill climb. But you haven't been able to generate many either. I mean, you've only got one per game in your first 7. And you got to do a better job than that. I mean, you kind of look at the differential between Washington and Atlanta. The Redskins have forced 13 turnovers, but they've only committed 6. So Atlanta, while the 4 is not a bad number, you've only generated 7. And I think Coach Quinn said that on Monday, and I think that's one of the things to, you know, really keep an eye on Sunday. Can you generate some turnovers? Can you generate some short field opportunities? And I think the defense certainly will get better, Carl, but it's going to be hard now. I mean, no matter what happens with Deion Jones, whether he comes back in 3 weeks or not, you're still missing, you know, 2 more pro ballers out there in Keanu and certainly Rico. So those are bigger concerns. I think you've got to do a better job of getting around the quarterback. I thought Grady Jarrett's comments with Arch and I on Monday were fairly candid about that. They know they've got to do a better job. He was excited to get back on the field for the Monday night game when others probably thought he might just take the extra week. And, you know, let's hope that some of that is transferable to what happens on the field starting Sunday.
You recognize the pipes, Wes Drewham. Wes Durham, voice of the Falcons. Ian Arch with a call from up there at FedEx Field. Coming up on Sunday right here on your home of the Falcons, 92.9 The Game. So the offensive line doing just enough to run the ball. I mean, it'd be better if we could, you know, take a little pressure off Matt. Maybe Calvin Ridley using the bye week to get back to, I mean, because he was a big factor in the offense early in the season. Maybe Calvin becomes a bigger piece of it.
Well, and he got banged up a little bit. But let's look at, I mean, you know, it's almost like an Alabama alumni meeting in D.C. in the defensive room. I mean, they've got Jonathan Allen. They've got Deron Payne, who obviously had a huge run to Alabama's national title last year. Ioannidis is a guy who I think's really played under the radar, who's a third-year guy. And then, you know, Kerrigan has always made plays. It's going to be hard to run the ball on these guys. The kid from Stevenson High School in Stone Mountain, Preston Smith, had a nice year. So, and they've obviously helped themselves with the Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix deal. I mean, that was to solidify the back end. You know, we'll see what happens, but I think you got to run it enough, Mike. I don't know that there's a specific number out there, but you got to at least present that you're a threat to do something with it. And I thought, you know, Coleman's run the other night kind of was a product of that, whereas the Giants were getting around Ryan in the first couple of quarters, the Falcons stuck with it, and it paid off on the long run that Tevin had in the Monday night game.
Let's shift gears a little bit. I want to talk some college football with
sure.
you. As Wes does college football as well, guys. The first college football playoff poll comes out, and, you know, everybody,
right.
you know, I think this one isn't as surprising as maybe the last couple of years. You figured Alabama and Clemson. But, you know, as Mike and I have been talking about this today, LSU, Notre Dame, obviously Alabama and LSU play this weekend.
Right.
Georgia 6, Wes, but, you know, we keep talking about can a non-Power 5 get in there, and here is UCF undefeated. They've won 20 in a row, and it's like
sure.
it's not going to happen, is it?
Nope.
It's not going to happen.
It's not, because last year's last year and this year's this year, Carl. I mean, and that's the way that committee has to look at it. And, you know, I don't know what to tell UCF and Danny White, their athletic director, who's a really good guy, other than go get a schedule. I mean, you know, go play some people. Go play, you know, do what Florida State did in the 70s and 80s with Bobby Bowden. Just line up and go play people. And, you know, you've got a really talented football team, but the fact of the matter remains that when you go 1-25, the 21st team has as many wins against the playoff top 25 as the number one team does. You know, I mean, and UCF doesn't have any against any of those guys. And last year's last year, and this year's this year. And I'm not surprised at all at what Rob Mullen said last night about UCF. In fact, it's almost kind of, in a weird way, kind of funny that they're behind Florida, who's got two losses.
Right.
You know?
But, I mean, like
and,
I said, they'll,
that just kind of shows you where this is. I think the one thing that came out of last night is there's a ton of pressure on Notre Dame. There's an absolute ton of pressure on Notre Dame because Notre Dame has to win out. They cannot lose. I think if I'm a Georgia fan this week, I'm pulling like crazy for Alabama. I'm pulling like crazy for Alabama to win this week. If I'm a Michigan fan, I want all the damage. I want all the people out from around me. And then Oklahoma and Washington State are going to sit idly by and see if they can finish this thing. If they can, then they may have a chance to make noise. The ironic part for me will be that Oklahoma would have to do it in a Big 12 championship game against possibly West Virginia, who's already lost, obviously, to Iowa State. So we got a long way to go, but it was nice to get some sort of semblance of the way the committee feels at this point. And it doesn't mean any league's better than the other right now. It just means that, you know, we've gotten 9 weeks of work, 10 weeks of work, if you will, and we're ready for what should be an unbelievable Saturday and a really entertaining rest of November, to be honest.
Yeah. What game are you on this week, by the way?
I get a game that'll be relatively low scoring. Syracuse and Wake Forest last week each both broke 50 and had no problem doing it. So my guess is I may get the front row seat at the first 200-snap college football game in history.
Well, it's all daisy-chained, West, because if Syracuse stays in the top 25, that helps Notre Dame, which gets back to our conversation about the opponents they got to beat. Boston
exactly.
College in the top 25 as well from the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, you got four ACC schools at the bottom, and NC State's the one that I find. I mean, they got wins over Boston College and Virginia, which is two wins in the top 25, which is the same number Alabama has. I mean, it just goes to show you how early it is, but there's so much lifting left to do. And I'm not saying NC State's better than Alabama. I'm just laying out kind of the way the dynamic works in the poll. But, you know, there's some interesting one-loss teams in there, but to answer your question at the front, Carl, I just don't see any way UCF gets in, even if they run the table.
Yep.
And I will say this, and I – don't blame the messenger on this. I do believe that committee would stick a two-win team in ahead of them, too.
We had a chance to visit with Christian.
Two-loss team.
We had a chance to visit with Christian Miller today, Alabama linebacker, guys. You'll hear that coming up at 6:20. And it's interesting to hear what he had to say about, you know, the guys at Alabama and how they approach this, watching the rankings and all the stuff that comes out. That's coming your way at 6:20. Wes, it's always a pleasure to visit with you, man. Thanks so much.
I can't believe Nick Saban on his birthday let players talk to y'all.
Well, his show has some power.
Yeah, we got some juice. We know the family.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.